Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet presented by OGGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, as always, Corey Waldron, special guest, Nick Cuavo. What is up, fellas? How are we doing?
Oh, doing pretty well. Thanks for having me, Nick.
I'm outnumbered by Knicks right now. It's a 2-1.
Yes, you were outnumbered. We just got past All-Star Weekend. What was your favorite event, guys?
Oh, from a three-point shootout, for sure.
I didn't watch the actual Saturday Night Live. I watched it at 2 o'clock in the morning, so it wasn't as exciting. But for me, it was probably the All-Star game. I was entertained, of course, onto the Kumpo and the Curry bounce pass dunk alley-oop, whatever you want to call it. That was probably the highlight for me the entire weekend.
Yeah, no, that was a crazy dunk. Obviously, three-point contest favorite for me. Jack's boy Joe Harris won that. But honestly, it was a good All-Star weekend. What we're going to do here today, give our predictions for post-All-Star break. And as always, before we get started, check us out, iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OGGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube. But guys, to get us started, we're going to do a little game. It's called Up and Down. I'm going to give you a player, and you're going to let me know if the rest of the season is going to go up or down from where they played so far this year. Sound good?
Sounds easy enough to me.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Nikola Jokic.
I think he's going to be going down, personally. That's just a matter of he started off so hot, and I don't really know if he'll be able to keep his production up as the Nuggets get healthy and they get more at least his numbers might drop for sure. That's how I'm hedging my bets.
I'm going to say up. I'll say maybe the points per game go down a little bit, but you add in the added talent around him, you can see those assist numbers possibly take a rise. And rebounding, I think he still gets probably similar in rebounding. But the points per game probably does drop. But I think overall, he might even see the best version of Jokic because he's going to have all of these pieces finally healthy and around him.
Yeah, straight facilitator mode. Definitely something to keep an eye on with all those guys coming back for Denver. Tobias Harris.
Oh, up for Philly. Like in the context of the situation he's in, up. He's gonna be seen as a real key fit in Philadelphia for himself personally. I think so.
I'm gonna say the numbers take a dip. I don't think he necessarily like. I'm not saying his play itself is going to be poor, but I think the numbers will take a step back because I still think when they start figuring out how the ball will get distributed, who will get the touches, he's still going to be third or fourth in the pecking order. So his numbers I think will take a slight drop, but I don't think it's going to be like lowering his efficiency at all.
Yeah, production probably down, but overall game up. Marc Gasol, Knicks guy.
No, that's a jump up, baby. He's off the Grizzlies and he's on a playoff contender now. It's going to be trending upwards for Big Spain.
I'm going to say his numbers go down. Obviously, he's coming off the bench currently in Toronto. Does that change, you know, over the course of the next 2 months going into the playoffs? Maybe. But I think because of his role in Toronto, I'm going to say his numbers take a dip. And I'm not actually sure if his game will be an up yet. So I'm actually going to say down for both.
Ooh, interesting. All right. LeBron James, this is kind of a layup for you guys.
Yeah, it's nowhere to go but up from here. He's basically at rock bottom, having missed the most games of his career over the course of a single regular season. I think the King is just going to show us that he's got some left in the tank. And he probably won't show us everything because you know how he loves to coast for the playoffs. But he'll do just enough to and we're going to talk about the Lakers in a little bit, but he'll do just enough to really show the world why he's still number one.
I think he's going to go up as well. You know, the Lakers are currently on the outside looking in for the playoff picture. LeBron James, despite everything you said, you know, playoffs is like, you know, we don't really care. It is what it is. He cares. He wants to be playing in April, in May, in June. He wants to be there. So I'm going to say up because he's going to do everything he can to get that Lakers team into the playoffs.
Yeah, 100%. LeBron's definitely going to be up. Kyle Lowry.
Up. I think as the Raptors, Van Vliet's going to be out for another couple of weeks. But again, similar to the Nuggets, where as all the team's weapons are solidified and they start to develop some of that chemistry before the playoffs, I think Lowry's counting numbers can really only go up from here. He hasn't really been scoring all that much this year. He's at a low for the past 5 years, actually, scoring not at a very efficient clip either. But his numbers will go up for sure.
I'll say up as well. I think his injury issues early on this season have kind of hindered him at times. The Raptors obviously are still having tremendous success because they still have, you know, 43-16 is a record at the break right now. But so I'll say up.
All right. What about Russell Westbrook?
Ooh.
It's all about efficiency. That's tough.
Yeah, I would probably call it even. Like, I don't – do I think that Westbrook's shooting is going to turn around? Yeah, I can't do that. Can't do that. Then I'll probably say down because he hasn't really shown me a whole lot of increasing his efficiency. He did recently have one really good monster night in terms of his efficiency before the Thunder headed into the break, that game against the Pelicans that they actually ended up losing. But I don't think he's going to dig his efficiency out of the hole that it's in. Do I think he's going to keep racking up triple-doubles? Absolutely. He's going to still contribute to the Thunder on the court, but I think his efficiency is just in a hole for this season at least.
Yeah, I'm going to say up slightly. I think Russell Westbrook has to get better efficiency-wise, right? The triple-double stat line is there. Paul George has been the greatest thing to happen to Russell Westbrook since Kevin Durant. He's got that guy who can go out there and get him a bucket. And Westbrook's looks, they're not bad looks. You know, obviously the three-point shots, like, tone it down. Let's not toss up so many shots from deep. But I think the shots around the rim that we see him normally make that he's been missing, those pull-up jumpers from the elbow that he's been missing this year, I think those shots are going to start to fall. He hasn't lost anything off his athletic ability. So for me, it's got to be an up for Westbrook.
Definitely something to keep an eye on. Obviously, Paul George has been great, so maybe they start to send a little bit more attention his way, and Westbrook has to step up. But great stuff with that, guys. Which team over this post-All-Star break is going to make the biggest jump? Or teams?
I think it's going to be the Lakers, personally, just because of how much they have riding on the rest of this season right now. They more or less have to take a big jump, or else there's going to be serious questions asked of them in the offseason. Beyond the Lakers, I could see the Miami Heat starting to make some noise in the Eastern Conference playoff picture, maybe upsetting the current seeding. But yeah, definitely the Lakers and Heat are my top two choices.
So my top two choices, one from each conference. For me in the East, it's the Boston Celtics. Granted, I know that's not a huge jump because they're fourth. But I think the way they kind of went into the All-Star break, I kind of think they're going to figure things out. I think once Kyrie gets healthy, that team's going to start figuring things out, start to get some more momentum going into the playoffs. And from the West, I agree with you, Nick. I think it's definitely the Lakers, obviously sitting outside of the playoff picture. I don't see them missing the playoffs. I think the Clippers probably take a slight step back, maybe even the Spurs, and the Lakers do end up getting in there. And a dark horse to jump for me in the West would be the Houston Rockets. Obviously, James Harden had this tremendous stretch. You know, he had those three games where he averaged 50 points per game. Chris Paul is back and healthy. Clint Capella will be back and healthy. So I think once they start getting these guys healthy, I wouldn't be surprised to see Houston Rockets go on a run late in the season.
Yeah, I really love the Lakers pick. Let's start with them, guys. Do you think the reason they're going to make a jump is just purely LeBron, or other players in this team are going to step up? Luke Walton's going to step up as a coach. What are you expecting?
Yeah, I think LeBron having more time with the roster is definitely the biggest thing more than anything else. Do I really think Ingram or Kuzma, or once they get Lonzo back, will they mature that much in 20-something games before the playoffs? They've kind of shown us what they appear to be so far this season. I know Ingram's been progressing nicely on that front, but in terms of the Lakers' success as a team, it'll be mostly dependent on just how LeBron meshes with the roster as assembled.
I mean, we kind of forget, before LeBron James got hurt, they were sitting at fourth in the Western Conference. They were starting to make that kind of rise and solidify themselves as a middle-to-top team in the West, and then he got hurt and everything started to decline, and we had the issues with Anthony Davis and all those rumors. I mean, I think this team is geared to make the run primarily because LeBron's coming back. I think once you start to get healthy and Lonzo comes back, and I think that should help. I kind of like what Reggie Bullock will bring this team. Obviously, we don't think they made the kind of moves they needed to make. I still think they're going to go out there and at least sign one more guy off the buyout market. Maybe it's Carmelo Anthony. I'm not saying that works in their favor, but I think this Lakers team is set to just take off because of LeBron being healthy and what he can start to establish some consistency within that team.
That's a great point. Obviously, you guys mentioned LeBron. I think also Corey kind of hinted at this, is the trade deadline has passed. Some of these young guys can kind of focus on playing basketball instead of worried about which team they're going to be playing on next week.
Yeah.
So going over to the Heat, Nick, what's your reasoning for them kind of taking that jump?
I'm just looking at the Eastern Conference playoff standings here, and the Heat have that nice combination of, you know, veteran head coaching. They got a lot of emerging talent in Bam and Point Justice and Jay Rich, and I'm looking at the teams that they could overtake. And I think personally, I'm kind of a bit of a downer on the Hornets and the Pistons. The Pistons have actually looked good as of late, but I really think the Hornets are going to fall out of a playoff spot. That'll for sure have implications on their free agency as well, with Kemba becoming a free agent. But I think the Heat definitely have the goods to dislodge them and enter the playoffs.
What do you think on that, Corey?
I don't think it's a terrible take at all. I mean, the Charlotte Hornets, I think, are a dumpster fire. I mean, if Kemba Walker doesn't play at All-Star Kemba Walker level and drop 25-plus points, I mean, the Hornets team is just bad. You know, going into the All-Star game, they played the Orlando Magic, and they got smoked by, like, 40 at home. And yeah. It was pathetic. And, you know, you're watching that team, and there is just no help for Kemba Walker. So it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, something happens where Kemba goes through, like, a little bit of a rough spell. If you, I don't know if you guys noticed, he also didn't shoot well in the All-Star game. I mean, he went, like, one for 10, I want to say, or one for 8. So he didn't even show up. That, and that's two bad shooting games in the span of a couple of days. Maybe he's about to hit a slump. I'm not saying I want to see him in a slump, but if he goes slumping, the Hornets will take a dive and, like, you know, Nick mentioned the Heat are right there.
Corey, what are your thoughts on the Celtics? Why are they going to make that jump? Just because they're going to get that chemistry right?
I think they're going to get the chemistry right. And then even though my Indiana Pacers are currently one game ahead of them, well, one game in the loss column ahead of them, one game in the win column ahead of them, you know, the Pacers have one of the toughest schedules at the end of the year. Their March schedule, I don't know if you guys have seen it, it is goddamn brutal. They have a real chance of maybe only going 10-11 in the month of March. It's a real possibility. They're going to be facing a lot of top-end talent, and that gives the Celtics room to jump up another spot. If the Raptors or Bucks go through a mini slump or whatsoever and the Celtics start to catch some rhythm, Gordon Hayward looked really good the last – about a week and a half going into the All-Star break. Maybe he starts finding some form. Kyrie obviously missed some time with a knee injury. He looked pretty good in the All-Star game. So if they get healthy and Gordon Hayward seems to get, you know, maybe to like 90% of what we normally see from Gordon Hayward in the past, then I think the Celtics could maybe take one spot up and maybe even two.
What are your thoughts on Boston, Nick?
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm bullish on the Celtics' chances. They were definitely a little bit overly highly touted before the season began. And I think, do I see them as the top two seed in the East anymore? Not so much. Could I see them grabbing the three seed from the Pacers? Yeah, probably. Boston for me is, yeah, definitely some top four East competition. I'd say they're probably trending towards the bottom half of that pile, around the 3-4 range. They haven't largely been healthy, but yeah, as Corey was saying, Gordon Hayward's looked really good as of late. And Kyrie Irving is really the foundation of this team, however, right? So the games that he misses, although Celtics have looked okay without him, he really is the fundamental piece there if they're going to make any noise in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think the Celtics are a good choice because you look at them, they have the talent. It's more about finding that chemistry and rhythm. But Corey, I kind of agree with you about the Rockets possibly making a jump, obviously getting Chris Paul, Capella back. How high can they jump?
I mean, you look at the Western Conference standings, they're only four games back from the three seed, right? And they're a five seed right now. I don't think anyone catches the Warriors or Nuggets, especially with the Nuggets getting healthy. Obviously, the Warriors are healthy finally because Cousins back. But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw the Houston Rockets jump up to third. I think they could get as high as three, maybe push for two, but I don't think they're a little bit too far out for two, in my opinion. But I think they could get three.
What do you think, Nick?
I think they could push the Blazers out of the four seed. I don't know if they could. OKC's looked really good as of late, and I'm not sure either one of Paul George or Westbrook are slowing down as of this moment. So I'd say I'd pencil them in for a top four finish.
Yeah, definitely a team that can improve getting back that, you know, talent of players and the adds they've made. But guys, on the negative side, which teams are going to make the biggest drop post All-Star break?
I think the Clippers have to be a candidate. They shipped off so much talent at the trade deadline, and they have a whole basically roster full of players they have to work out on the court with right now, and it's just there's almost no way they hold on to that eight seed in the loaded West.
I think the biggest drop from the West is going to be the Los Angeles Clippers as well. I don't see it working out in their favor with LeBron getting healthy. I think the Kings are actually a better basketball team currently constructed than the Clippers. I like the addition of Harrison Barnes. I've been pretty high on that. And, you know, there's a lot of games left, and I think the Clippers probably end up somewhere in the 11-10 seed range.
Now, you guys think this is mostly because of talent, or is this something that was just bound to happen from the start of the season because they got off to that hot start?
Talent. I think if that team stayed intact, if you didn't get rid of Tobias Harris, I mean, really, if you just didn't get rid of Tobias Harris, I think this team probably stays right between the 6 and 8 seed range.
Yeah, getting rid of Tobias Harris is definitely what caused them what we're predicting them to slip, right? They got rid of a fringe all-star talent, basically, and they're clearly signaling to their current roster that this season is kind of a loss to them. So they won't really also have much motivation to fight for the playoffs this year.
Very so true. You know, obviously they're more worried about the offseason. In the East, who could you see dropping, guys?
Yeah, like we discussed earlier, the Charlotte Hornets. Like, I really don't see them in the top eight of the East by the time the season wraps up. Besides them, the East playoff standings look pretty locked down, at least 1 through 6. The Pistons probably will maintain their current position. I don't know. Maybe I could see the Magic being worse than they've currently been. It's kind of surprising to me that they're still kind of fighting for the 8th seed, but I could see them falling a little bit down the stretch.
So for me, I'm going with the Pacers taking the biggest drop in the East.
Hit yourself right in the heart.
Yeah. you know, it's, I guess, you know, I'm kind of like Jack in the sense when it comes to Nets, where I rather sell low and be extremely impressed. But let me just say, this is their schedule, guys, starting March 7th. They play the Bucks, then the Sixers, the Knicks, but then the Thunder, Nuggets, Blazers, Clippers, Warriors, Nuggets, Thunder, Celtics. That's their stretch.
That is rough. I think they have the 8th toughest remaining schedule. So, obviously, top 10, not great, losing Oladipo. They've been doing good without him, but it's going to be a real test.
And I think, you know, I don't think they fall too far. I think they probably fall to probably the 5 seed, which, again, that's not obviously that far. But, you know, if the Nets get really hot.
They got this third toughest remaining schedule, so don't worry about it.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
But, yeah, no, that I think the Pacers probably will drop, because especially with teams like Philadelphia making a move and getting Tobias Harris in Boston, like we talked about, getting that rhythm up, the Pacers falling wouldn't be that crazy. And I don't think most of us expect them to stay in 3 when Oladipo went down.
Right, yeah. I mean, I like the addition of Wesley Matthews. I think it was the right move to make, especially when he get into the playoffs. I think he'll be extremely valuable because he plays really tough, gritty. He's always dying for loose balls. Like, I really love his fit with the culture in Indiana. But like you said, I mean, you lose a guy like Victor Oladipo, that offense, it's just impossible to replace.
Yeah.
Unless Miles Turner takes a jump.
Maybe. Any other dark horse droppers, you know, teams that might surprise people and end up dropping?
Dark horse to possibly Portland.
Ooh.
I'm still not sold on Portland, the two-man game. You know, they got Enes Kanter off the buyout market. I like what he gives them offensively, but it doesn't help them defensively. Rodney Hood, I don't think, has been getting enough minutes. So I could see them taking a slight step back, possibly, and dropping. But, you know, I really feel like that's a regular season team that does do normally well in the regular season and just doesn't, you know, come up in the playoffs because they're just not built for the playoffs. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them drop.
Yeah. Wouldn't be surprising for me to see the Trailblazers drop out at all. I think Corey nailed it on the head with them. They definitely seem like the team that could stand to lose the most ground compared to the rest of their competitors. They only really added Rodney Hood at the deadline. And, yeah, the team is a little bit short on star talent.
Yeah, an injury to, you know, Dame or CJ or even Nurkic could kind of hurt them. But, guys, moving on from there, obviously we did our biggest jump, biggest drops. Which coach are you guaranteeing to be fired by the end of this year or at the end of this year?
Luke Walton.
Okay. Corey, who you got?
I mean, I can give you a couple if you want. I think Luke Walton gets fired. I think Scott Brooks gets fired. And I'll give it a 50-50 chance on Alvin Gentry. But that's more so because once they figure out who the GM is going to be long term, as we mentioned in the past, generally they kind of bring in their own, you know, their own coaching staff, their own culture and stuff like that. So if they do get a different GM, I wouldn't be surprised to see Gentry get the hook. But I think Luke Walton would be a lock, as well as Scott Brooks.
Yeah, especially if the Lakers probably get knocked out first round, which is the most likely scenario. Scott Brooks, obviously Washington season's not going to go great. They need a scapegoat. And like you said, Alvin Gentry, I think he's going to be fired because they'll switch GMs. They'll kind of want to turn that over. Anybody else for you, Nick?
Maybe as a surprise fire, the new Phoenix Suns head coach, Igor Kokoskov, just because the Phoenix had kind of some expectations heading into this year. Definitely not. We're not expecting to end up at the very scraping the bottom of the barrel in the West again. And I don't know. I think just potentially his dismal showing right off the bat with very little improvement from the year before could cost him his job.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I know a lot of people are saying, oh, the Suns can, you know, not compete for the playoffs but be a competitive team, and that really hasn't been the case. What about Terry Stotts in Portland if they get knocked down the first round again?
Ooh, well, you would think yes. You would think yes, but it's difficult to see Portland They're not really a team of action, one might say. I could see them. I could definitely see them holding on to Terry Stotts for another year or two, just because of how above average he's made them, even if they haven't won at the highest level.
Yeah, I think the only way Stotts would get fired would be, you know, not that it would ever come out in the public, would be if Damian Lillard wanted change, right?
Obviously, I think they get along pretty well.
Exactly. And I think the whole thing for Portland is you don't want to upset Lillard because you want to try and keep your superstar as long as you can in those kind of small markets. And obviously, Lillard is a loyal guy to start with. So I don't think you want to do anything that may upset him.
All right, guys, which young team is going to impress, you know, post All-Star break and really build some momentum for next season?
I think the Sacramento Kings are going to really show, like, blow the doors off everyone's expectations. They've been above expectation up to this point, currently 3 games above 500 in the 9th seed looking in. I think, though, they might just finish in a playoff spot in the West. They've looked really good, a lot of young talent, and they've easily been, to me, the most surprising team thus far.
So the two young teams I'm looking at in particular, one are Sacramento Kings. I think you hit the nail on the head. Obviously, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, both those guys have popped onto the scene this year. Bogdanovich has been really nice for them. I love the addition of Harrison Barnes. Maybe not for the money, but I still think it's the right add. Marvin Bagley has really impressed. Obviously, he gets a lot of shit for where he was drafted because it was over Luka Doncic, and he's not better than Luka Doncic. But I still think Bagley has earned a spot in the NBA long term. So I like the Kings, and I'll give kind of like a tie between the Dallas Mavericks and the Atlanta Hawks, because the Hawks really have played decent basketball throughout the first half of the season. They had that nice win over the Lakers going into the All-Star break. So I could see them starting to find some cohesion. Obviously, they're healthy at this point in time. And the Dallas Mavericks, you know, they got some nice young pieces. Luka Doncic obviously will continue to impress us as long as he's on the floor. Are the Nets young? Are the Nets young enough to impress?
Yeah, I guess I would consider them still young. Their starting lineup's under 24, most guys.
Right, so I would say the Nets actually, too, should be thrown in that list for sure, because obviously I don't think a lot of people had them being sixth in the East going into this season. I don't think people had them being as successful as they've been, having 4 guys in All-Star Weekend, which was the first time in franchise history.
Yeah, tied for the most, and Dinwiddie would have been there without the injury. So
right, so I think what the Nets have going just from that alone should say that if everything goes right the second half of this year, despite the tough schedule, maybe even if they beat expectations going into the end of the season with that tough schedule, then I think the Nets should be in that conversation as well.
Yeah, you guys made a lot of great points. So the one that really stuck out was the Hawks, and I think you're right, Corey. They've been pretty exciting for most of the year, and you're seeing some of these young guys start to build confidence.
Yeah, I mean, Trae Young has obviously, my take has aged extremely poorly from the start of the season, where I said he's going to be out of the league in 6 years. He's probably going to be in the league for 16 years. I was a little bit wrong on the numbers, that's all. He'll be out in 16, guys, not six.
But what are you thinking about the Hawks, Nick?
Oh, I mean, yeah, the Hawks have been surprising, if only that, although they're not winning so many games, they've proven that their young nucleus is quite good and that they've been drafting very well with Kevin Huerter, Taurean Prince, Trae Young, John Collins, even DeAndre Bembry, Omari Spellman. They've been doing really well in terms of developing their young talent, and they're not at the basement of the league. So it's surprising to see in that way. They're definitely ahead of schedule. Do I think they'll be in the playoffs next year? No, but do I think that their young core could have the championship top end potential? Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Would you guys like to see the Hawks land Zion?
Ooh. I never thought about it until this very second. I just think Zion in a Knicks uniform, because that seems to be the only thing that's getting printed these days. But I would love to see him in Atlanta, sure.
Personally, no. I think it would be fun, but I think a guy like RJ Barrett or even Cam Reddish may fit better. Because I think you can have Zion and John Collins, but I think they kind of – I don't think you want both those guys on the floor for you. So I think you'd rather have a solidified wing in either Reddish or Barrett, personally.
Yeah, they have somewhat similar games, I guess you could say. Obviously, if you have one, you're going to take Zion regardless.
Yeah, for sure.
But, guys, talking about kind of to the offseason, which star are you guaranteeing is going to leave?
This one's so tough.
This is a guaranteeing loaded question.
You can pick more than one, too, if you want, if you're feeling risky today.
I want to say Kawhi is going to leave Toronto.
Corey punched yourself in the stomach, and so did you.
Yeah, of all of the, because Kyrie has that whole verbal commitment to Boston thing, and even though he kind of walked that back, it's still tough to see him leaving a situation like Boston for a situation like the Knicks, right? Like, that to me is just what doesn't. Keep holding it up, and unless Kyrie has some sort of promise from, like, why would you switch from something so guaranteed for the next 5-6 years to something like that? But besides, yeah, and then Jimmy Butler, is he going to leave the 76ers now that they traded for Tobias Harris? Like, is Tobias Harris going to leave the Sixers if they're willing to throw all that, splash all that cash? Like, I really don't think so. To me, it's Kawhi Leonard. He recently bought some property in L.A., and even though everyone says, like, oh, don't pay attention to where stars are buying real estate, LeBron James had real estate in California, so that's, you know, that's
something to keep an eye on, I guess. You gotta get real estate weekly.
So do we want to put any stake in the fact that post All-Star game last night, Durant, Kawhi, and Irving were all in a little circle, and Kawhi was even dancing?
Yeah.
The guy was dancing? So obviously those three are pairing up, right? That's how this goes. It's how a big three is created.
I don't know if there's any possibility for all three to link up.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think it's
pretty much impossible salary-wise, unless somebody just seems crazy.
But I will say that I'll say two guys are leaving. And the only way this changes in my mind is if the Celtics go on a very deep playoff run, so you know where this is going already. I think Durant and Irving both leave.
Okay.
I am completely on board with – not on board with this, but on this train. I don't know if you guys have seen the conspiracy tape that was made over this past weekend, but Durant and Irving were up each other's ass all weekend. When Durant won All-Star MVP, Irving was the only player to wait through the entire ceremony for Durant to get his trophy. He even rubbed Durant on the head when Durant walked up. They were seen in the tunnel before the game. Right. So I don't know. And you know, there's been a lot of rumors about those two guys wanting to play together from the get-go before the year, before I even saw any of their relationship together. So I'm actually starting to buy some stake in the fact that these two guys may just really want to play together. And there's a couple of destinations where that could happen.
I think you could look at it too from the perspective is like, all right, Kyrie was almost second fiddle to LeBron and they won the championship, but he hit the big shot. And obviously the Warriors keep winning and everybody talks about Steph being the leader. So maybe it's like both of them trying to team up and win a championship on their own and be like, all right, guys, we were the reason these teams won. So I think there is, you know, some basis to that relationship. And like Corey said, they were together a lot and there is more than one opportunity for them to link up.
Right. And I think the for sure lock for me is Durant. I think Durant's for sure gone because I think that's been like an underlying issue in the locker room for the Warriors in general. You know, we had that Draymond and Durant blow up earlier in the year, but I think everyone is kind of understanding the fact that Durant wants to have his own team now. You know, I don't think we're just hearing this because we're hearing it. I think we're hearing it because there's actual substance to it. You know, he's won a couple with the Warriors and he seriously thought that was going to change his the public perception of him. People were going to see, oh, look at him. He's finally better than LeBron James. He's winning games. And when that didn't happen and people didn't get on the bandwagon with him and didn't start rolling with him as the best player, they still looked at LeBron. I think that did bother Durant. And Durant's going to do everything he can to kind of fold his legacy into trying to make him the guy.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason I didn't say Durant is because there is this little caveat that I think is more likely than the Raptors winning a finals and retaining Kawhi. The one little caveat that gives Durant everything that he might want in Golden State is if the Warriors get bounced before winning the chip, right? Like, if the Warriors just get bounced before winning the championship, Durant can re-sign for as long as he wants, and then there people are going to look to attribute more of the success to Durant, and it won't always be on Curry anymore, right? Because the whole idea is that Durant joined a team that was winning before him, and they continued winning, obviously, after getting him. Now, if they were to somehow get bounced in the finals or Western Conference finals, then things might change about where Durant could see himself writing his legacy.
Yeah, no, I think obviously the postseason is going to have a big impact. Would you guys say between Kyrie and Kawhi, whichever player doesn't get to the Eastern Conference finals is a lock to leave?
Yeah, I'd say that's a lock.
Yeah, I would say you could even throw in the Jimmy Butler and the Sixers into that. I think that's the case for all three of those teams. You know, if one of those teams is going to be the odd man out, I think you lose probably one of your stars if you don't.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting offseason. We were going to talk about it for the next couple months, even before it starts. But any other stars you guys want to mention? Any thoughts on Klay possibly leaving or that guy's locked in Golden State forever?
Well, I don't know about Klay, but if I'm Kemba Walker, I'm telling my agent to get me out of Queen City, man. Like, why why are you going to continue to spend time on the – like, I get the whole – I love it when stars tell the public that they're staying in one place forever and all that, but – when it directly goes against like what you are meant to do as a player, which is like, you know, win basketball games, like how can you possibly have free reign of your own volition decide to stay on a team as bad as the Charlotte Hornets? Like, what? How is Kemba Walker going to do that? Like, I don't know.
I love the Kemba Walker take leaving. I think if the Hornets, one of the teams you mentioned, take a drop, if they miss the playoffs in a very weak Eastern Conference, he's got to leave, right? I don't know how you can convince me, someone who, and if I'm Kemba Walker, I'm mentioning the prime of my career, the East is bad, and I still can't even get into the playoffs in the All-Star type season. Like, yeah. I don't think there would be any way to try and sell me. Unless, you know, he was to wait to see what other moves they made, and then they, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would have to see serious changes made before I ever put a pen to the paper.
And they're seriously limited. You know,
yeah, the Nicholas Batum contract, man. He can't jump. He's got no hop. If you watch him take a jump jump shot, he jumps like an inch off the ground. Like, it is very sad.
Well, we know it really upsets Corey, Batum's jump shot, but also you got MKG. There's just a couple contracts down there that are just terrible.
Biombo, so, 17 yeah. mil.
What do you guys?
Just to expand one more time on that point. Like, Kemba Walker leaving the Hornets would be poetic justice to me, at least, so that franchises see, like, it's really worth it to trade assets before they get to just leave you. You know what I'm saying? Like it would really show teams, like, listen, like, if you had been honest with yourself a year or 2 years before Kemba left you for nothing, you could have reset. You could have expedited your rebuild process by 3 or 4 years. You know, you could have gotten 2 firsts for him, a first and a second, a young player and a first. Like, and I think, like, I would really love it. Like, you know, I apologize to all the Hornets fans listening. They didn't listening, but I would love it that if Charlotte were to shoot themselves in the legs like that, like it would just really send a good message to franchises struggling to hold on to small stars in small markets.
Yeah, and that's not going to be the only guy. Last year we saw Tyreek Evans. Memphis didn't get anything for him. You know, it could be Kemba this year, obviously, with Orlando, Terrence Ross, Vucevic, if they don't make the playoffs and they lost one of those guys. So something to keep an eye on. Obviously, Kemba, I think, has a lot of opportunities to make a lot of money and go to a better situation. So it would make sense for him.
I will say one interesting superstar that we didn't mention would be Cousins.
Yeah.
Where does he end up in all of this, right?
I think he ends up on the Mavericks with Porzingis like and Doncic. Yeah.
100%. I think we've talked about that before, and they have that extra space. And I don't know if they'll attract one of the big guys, but DeMarcus Cousins can really sell. And then you have KP and Luka, like, oof.
Right. No, I think that's a good spot for him. But that's the one guy who he's been on my brain a lot going into this offseason because there's not like a really set location for him.
I could see the Knicks striking out and offering him a lot of money.
In some scenario, the Knicks end up with Jimmy Butler and DeMarcus Cousins.
Or I could see them getting Kemba and Cousins.
Yeah. And that's actually not terrible. I mean, obviously, I don't know how high your ceiling is, but it's definitely not terrible.
Kemba's a New York guy. The only thing that would hurt that is they just got Dennis Smith. So it's like, you know, are you going to add another point guard? Do you believe in him or do you believe in running two point guards?
That's a good point, too.
So, all right, guys, I guess I'm going to throw this in there. I know it's not, you know, for your preparation. Give me your top three teams that are most likely to land a big free agent. And we're talking at least an all-star.
Oh, top three teams most likely to land a big free agent. Well, okay. Lakers, Knicks, and Clippers.
I'll go ahead, Corey. Yeah.
No, go ahead. Ask your question first.
Nick, why are you 100% sure on the Lakers that they're going to lock somebody in?
I think, well, if they don't, if they don't, this summer passes and the Lakers don't have a second superstar in tow, it will be the biggest indictment on LeBron's decision-making that quite possibly ever. Like, I don't think you could riddle his legacy with how poor the LA decision would become if he blows the first 2 years of his 4-year contract, toiled in mediocrity in a loaded West, you know, a decision that so many people could have seen coming. Just so many people would tell him, if you really wanted rings, you would have gone to Philadelphia. You would have gone to Houston. There's no way. Like, if for the Lakers to come up without another superstar this summer is a huge failure. Enormous. So almost too big of a failure to even imagine.
See, now, just I want to comment on that first. I don't think that's an indictment of his decision. I think that's an indictment of the fact that no one would want to play with him. Like, I think that speaks more to the fact that it would solidify the fact that LeBron, that superstars don't want to play in the media circus that is created by LeBron James. I think that would be what I would take away from that if they were to strike out. With that said, the Lakers are still a team that I think does land some kind of free agent. They may strike out, and they may get a DeMarcus Cousins, right? Maybe that's where he ends up. Maybe they get a Jimmy Butler because he missed out on the big guys. But I'm going to say Lakers, Clippers, and Mavericks.
Okay. Those are some good teams, guys. So that'll be interesting in the offseason. We know there's a ton of teams with cap space, and someone's going to get overpaid. Any dark horse teams out there?
Nets.
As free agents, how about the Jazz? What about the Jazz?
That's an interesting one. I think the one thing for the Jazz that sucks is just their market. Like, yeah, guys, I'm going to play in Utah for 5 years. But, you know, some people care about winning. But Kemba actually wouldn't be a terrible spot for them because I could see him going to another small market. But we could spend all day on the offseason stuff, guys.
Kemba to Pacers. Kemba to Indiana.
Yeah, we discussed it. I actually really like the fit. If I'm Kemba and I want to stay in the East and I want to stay in a small market, I'm going to the Pacers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a perfect fit. You know, Oladipo's going to take a while to get back. Like, you'll have him there to kind of run the show while he's kind of getting back 100%.
You got a pick and roll guy, and it's a bonus, and you have Miles Turner locked up long term for 4 years on the cheap, and he should take another step eventually. So, yeah, I think that would be a fun spot. Yeah.
How long is Bogdanovich's contract?
Expiring. Everyone pretty much in the Pacers is expiring besides Sabonis, Turner, and Oladipo.
Oh, well, that's a solid young core. If you were to add Kemba to that, you could fill out that roster really well. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. They've drafted pretty well with some of the young guys, look pretty good as well. Guys, getting to our playoff predictions, you don't have to tell me in order. Just give me your 8 picks.
Okay.
We'll start with the East.
All right. For the East, I've got I'll tell you them in order. Bucks, Raptors, 76ers, Celtics, Pacers, Nets, Pistons, Miami Heat.
Same exact one for me.
So for me, wait, are we giving orders or no?
You can give order if you want. I actually have the same order as Nick as well, so
I'll give orders. Bucks, Raptors, Celtics, Sixers, Pacers, Nets, Pistons, Heat for the East, and then for the West, I have Warriors, Nuggets, Thunder, Rockets, Jazz, Blazers, Lakers, Spurs, Kings. Right? Is that nine?
I think you had too many.
Nine.
Drop the bottom team off the West.
Okay. Nick, who you got for the West?
Yeah, for the West, I've got in order Warriors, Nuggets, Thunder, Rockets, Jazz, Spurs, Lakers, and Trailblazers.
Yeah, I have the same picks as you guys. The only thing I have is I have the Lakers last, but I could see them easily jumping the Blazers. But it looks like we're pretty much locked up with our playoff predictions. We don't even have any different teams. Any other thoughts on that, guys?
Did I have? Yeah, no, that's right.
Literally all had the same exact teams. I mean, the playoff race isn't extremely hard to tell at this point. You know, we've seen a lot of teams go down. It's more so about the seeding that I think could change, especially in the West. We could see a lot of teams jump in the East. It's pretty much that 3-4, maybe 5-2 that can swap a lot. But, you know, a lot of the stuff is already set in stone who we think is going to be a playoff team. I think the only thing you could really talk about is the bottom seats for both conferences.
I have one question. When is the last time an NBA team can sign someone off the buyout market and still have them be playoff eligible?
March 1st.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's still a couple names out there. There might be a couple more names who get bought out, negotiate something over the All-Star break, but see what happens there. Guys, any other thoughts on playoffs before we go to the awards?
No. All I can tell you is that the first round of the East will be a bit of a snooze fest, except for the 4-5 seed matchup. And then the West is going to be pretty much appointment television as soon as the playoffs begins. Because, yeah, the East, you can snooze through the first round and you'd be mostly forgiven. That it's those semis that'll be probably some of the best highly rated NBA playoff series in a long time. But the West is just a gauntlet.
The West is crazy. I mean, every matchup is going to be ideal. You're going to get some crazy superstar matchups in the first round, and good players are going to go home. I think the East still, you know, 4 or 5 will be good. I wouldn't be surprised if the Nets had a good matchup with, like, the Celtics because they played them well this year, and you know, they can just shoot a lot of threes. But, you know, the West is definitely going to be the better, at least in the first round. All right, guys, who's going to win the chip? Do I have to ask, or we're all going to agree on the Warriors?
It's still the Warriors.
Yeah, it's the Warriors.
Until I'm proven otherwise, it's the Warriors.
All right, let's get into some other predictions or awards. We'll start with Rookie of the Year. Do I have to ask again, Luka?
It's Luka.
Yeah, all right.
Luka. You guys have heard that song, but yeah, it's sweeping the nation. Yeah.
Coach of the Year.
I think it's Mikey Malone.
Ooh, see, okay. I mean, Coach of the Year, I tweeted about this the other day. It's like six. There's like six really good candidates. I think if the Bucks remain the one seed, I give it to Budenholzer simply because it's his first year on the job, and getting that one seed and your first year on the job, I think is really impressive.
Yeah, I agree, Corey. I think especially if they have the best record, and I think you could argue that he made the biggest coaching change out of anyone because he came to a new team where Malone's kind of been building this thing up.
Yeah, for me, the only thing is that this is Malone's first playoff run, so he's turned the Nuggets from a team that's kept being on the outside looking in, and then infused it with young talent, developed his own kids, and now he's got him in a position a two seed at this point. So, but yeah, Budenholzer is a serious contender for sure. Nate McMillan of the Pacers also fantastic work while Oladipo's been out. In terms of the top end candidates, though, those guys are all right up there. Maybe Billy Donovan from the Thunder.
Yeah, for me, it's Mike and Mike at the top, but sixth man of the year.
Ooh, I kind of want to give it to Sabonis.
I gave it to Sabonis. So it's a three-way sweep. Obviously, I've watched a ton of Sabonis this year, and he keeps the Pacers bench afloat. He's the number one scoring option off the bench. He's good on the boards, and he's been helping this team, as you guys mentioned, without Oladipo, kind of remain them in the top part of the East.
Yeah, very efficient too. Obviously, a big part of the Pacer team. Executive of the year.
Oh, I think it's Donnie Nelson of the Mavericks.
Nelson's a good choice. Obviously, you get Luka and KP in the same year. I think John Horst of the Bucks, obviously bringing in some of the guys they brought in rotation-wise and hiring a new coach. So I think either of those guys is a good pick.
Raptors is what?
Masai Ujiri, baby.
Masai Ujiri.
Even know if he technically gets the award because I think it goes to the general manager. So, Nick, correct me if I'm wrong, but their general manager is Bobby Webster.
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
Okay. I think the Raptors would be an interesting choice, especially if they have good success after getting Marc Gasol, because that means he would get Kawhi Leonard and Marc Gasol in the same season, and Danny Green, which isn't a throw-in. So I think I would possibly give it to him depending on how the Raptors finish.
No, great point. Obviously, you get a top-five player possibly in Kawhi and then another top-10 center in Gasol. So it was a big year, especially if they end up with a top seed.
Yeah. Also holding on to Siakam, because Siakam might just turn out to be a superstar.
For sure.
Talking Siakam, most improved player.
Yeah, no, that's this guy's running away with it at this point. The only one I would even consider is probably maybe De'Aaron Fox, and D'Angelo Russell approaches the conversation too. But I don't know. Siakam is just from where he was to what he is now, and the tremendous value he represents based on his contracts. Oh yeah, it's just got to be Siakam for me.
I think Siakam would definitely be in the running. I think he would probably be my pick, especially because of the success of the Raptors. I think if the Kings were to slip into the playoffs, maybe even get like a 7 seed, then maybe De'Aaron Fox could get that. But I think Siakam is the guy.
I think you look at it, expectations for Siakam going to the year. He obviously proved some stuff last year, but they weren't that high. And now he turned into a fringe all-star player, possible all-star player, depending on who you're asking. So I like Siakam, like you guys mentioned, though. D'Angelo Russell, De'Aaron Fox, two names to consider, both take major jumps this year. Defensive player of the year.
Paul George.
Same, Paul George. He's been tremendous.
Yeah, for me, it's between Paul George and Rudy Gobert. I think, Gobert's impact over there is just so big. But, if OKC lands that top three seed and they continue to have, the best defense in the league, I think you got to give it to Paul George. He's been great this year.
And I think because Paul George is not going to win MVP, even though I think he's in the conversation, which we're about to talk about, I think they'll give him Defensive Player of the Year because he is deserving of some sort of award.
That's an excellent point, Corey, because obviously the voters are humans and that just makes sense. Because maybe not any other year, but 5 years ago, Paul George is winning MVP with the season he's having.
Yeah,
barring some sort of crazy streak, maybe a 40-point streak over the last 20 games or something from Paul George, he's played well enough where, he could, in a perfect year, he could take home MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. It's been a little bit Jordan-esque for him in that sense. He's taken some big steps, but he's playing a level of basketball that we haven't seen Paul George play or even expected him to play, honestly, at any point in his career. So I think he'll take at least Defensive Player of the Year home.
Yeah, I feel like the mental change for him being in OKC, Corey and I talked about this before, just feeling like so much more relaxed with Westbrook and being locked into OKC.
Yeah, it feels like this is the kind of season we all expected after those Pacers Heat like Eastern Conference Finals here. So when we saw him exploding onto the scene, this is the kind of season we expected to see in Indiana, right? That total domination and control on the floor. And obviously the leg injury kind of set that back. It took a couple of years and a little bit of a change of scenery, but we're finally seeing that next jump that we kind of saw coming 4 years ago. It just took a little bit longer.
All right, guys, MVP. Obviously, two names come to mind. Who's going to win it?
I think it's going to be Antetokounmpo. Just, I think this comes down to seeding. Do I think he's honestly had a better season than Harden? No, but I think that the seeding is just going to play out to be too big of a factor.
Man, the MVP race is ridiculous because it's honestly it's a two-man race at the top between Antetokounmpo and Harden, and then Paul George and Embiid, Durant. Those guys are all, like, hovering around in the conversation. I think I give it to Antetokounmpo. I know a couple weeks ago I was on the James Harden bandwagon. He was on that, you know, ridiculous, you know, 50-point-per-game stretch. He's had 30 points per game in the last, 30 games, right? He had 30 for 30, I think, finally. If you count the All-Star game, the streak's over, but I know we don't count that. So I think Antetokounmpo would get the nod for me. The seeding does play a little bit of a factor in this. And for the fact that Antetokounmpo has been doing it from day one to this point, I think gives him a slight edge. And if he continues to play like this throughout the entire course of the season without any real dippage, then I think it's got to give it to Antetokounmpo. But if the I will say this, if the Rockets do take a massive jump and they somehow get like the 3 seed and it's off a crazy, like a ridiculous stretch continuing from Harden, then I think he has a real chance because of this last 2 months. But I think Antetokounmpo is still the front runner.
Yeah, I think one thing that hurts Harden too is Chris Paul and Capella are going to come back.
Right.
And obviously, they're going to have a big impact. And Antetokounmpo's been pretty much playing with the same guys all year. And like you guys mentioned, he's been a little bit more consistent from the start. This would be one year I wouldn't be terribly upset with co-MVPs because both guys have been so good. But I wouldn't be mad either way.
I've been for co-MVPs, so I'm completely okay with that. I still think that Westbrook season where he won MVP should have been the first ever co-MVP year.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a possibility. I know some people think it's like a disrespect to the guys, but
I think it shows the amount of talent we have that we're able to say that there's two MVPs in a season. I know we saw it in the NFL, right? It was Peyton Manning and someone else, I believe, won co-MVPs at one point in time.
Yeah, no, they definitely have done in the NFL before.
Yeah, I mean, I think whenever you have this much talent, because I think this has been one of the talking points for this season, in particular in the NBA, there's just a lot of talent. I mean, me and Jack are currently making that top 50 list. Where we have the top 50 list, we're going to start dissecting them. And there's a lot of talent. I mean, the top 20 players, I mean, all those guys are top-notch guys. And, like, the top 10 are all MVP candidates.
Yeah, it's crazy. Would you guys be opposed to an East and West MVP?
No, I think that's the logical next step. If you're going to have co-MVPs, yeah, having one from each conference would really go a long way. That would solve this season's MVP debacle really well, for example, right? Like, you'd have Giannis from the East and Harden from the West.
I say no, only because I think the talent's too dispersed between the conferences. Like, not that I think Antetokounmpo, I don't know, the East is bad, right? So I don't know if I would be okay with having conference MVPs. I think it's a fun thought, but I don't know.
I think the balance is slightly starting to change. Like, I think the West is still more talented, but the East is getting better every year. You see more players coming over. You know what I mean?
Right. I agree with that.
Because you just saw at the All-Star break, you know, Gasol and Harris, obviously, you know, Gasol not the same as he was. You saw Kawhi in the summer. You saw Jimmy Butler this year. So depending on what happens in the offseason too, let's say Durant comes over to the East and Cousins, you know, now all of a sudden it's starting to balance out more. So obviously something to keep an eye on. Guys, any other predictions you want to get out there post All-Star break? Any hot takes? I want something spicy from each of you.
Ooh, hot take, eh? Ooh. Well, my hottest take would be that the Utah Jazz don't make the playoffs.
Ooh, that was spicy.
The Jazz are just a team that I haven't had a whole lot of faith in over the course of the year. I thought they were really overhyped. And if you listen to our previous pods, I've made the statement before where I think the Jazz are – they simply don't have the makeup of a team that's going to get far in the playoffs to me, at least like in the modern NBA. Like, they're not enough shooters from distance, not enough they play great defense, but that grinded out pace just won't get you very far. So that's just me personally.
So since I already said the Pacers are going to take a drop, my hot take will be the Pacers don't drop at all. Okay. Miles Turner
just
finishes.
Like cheating.
I know. Fine. I'll specify. Hot take. Miles Turner averages 19 points per game and 2.5 blocks per game on 50% shooting the rest of the season.
Yeah, I'd call Miles Turner a dark horse defensive player of the year candidate.
I would too, Ashley. You're right. He probably doesn't get enough love for his rim protection.
Not even just his rim protection, but his ability to be so quick in the pick and roll defense. Like, that's one thing that's really stuck out to me this year.
Yeah, I mean, he can actually guard some guys around the perimeter.
Yeah, so obviously Pacers are going to be something to keep an eye on. Guys, great show. Anything else you want to get out there before we make our last thoughts?
Welcome back.
Miles Turner, 2.7 blocks per game. I'm sorry. I've been sleeping on Miles Turner. I just saw
it's
that.
It's all right. Everybody sleeps on us. I sleep on us, too. So it's okay.
Yeah, Corey doesn't even promote his own team. But, guys, a pleasure. Tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter.
All right. Well, it's at Nick Cubs. I'll be on OTG quite frequently, and look out for me.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at KWAL Hoops. That's KWAL Hoops. And I'm out there.
Yeah, guys, definitely check them out. Obviously, you can follow the brand OTG Basketball at OTG Basketball. Quick shout out for Corey, who held it down while he was on vacation. Got to get some sun thanks to him. And as always, check out the pod, iTunes, Block Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, Dash Radio, and YouTube.
Peace out, knuckleheads.